Praise the Lord. Shake hands, rippers beside you, and say, the Lord bless you. Praise God. Just maybe see this just for a moment. Just a couple of announcements. I was going to say while everybody's here, but it's hard to get everybody here. But the Lord bless each one. Next Sunday I'll be in Scotland to preach in Scotland, and you pray first as I go over to Scotland to Brother Ron's the fellowship there, and just pray the Lord will help us. Also, that Brother Andrew from Dublin was telling me they're banned from Castlewell. They're not allowed back to Castlewell for no more youth meetings because they're not a known denomination. What can we say about it? You know, it was on the cards, as the man said, just like when we were Tully Leash. Somebody gave a tract for the serpent seed to somebody in the headquarters behind it, then we were out. Amen. Now, we can't deny the things we know to be the truth.
Glory.
How can we deny it? We believe God did send a prophet.
Amen.
We believe that.
Amen.
We believe William Branham was God's messenger.
Amen.
This last church age, we're not going to fiddle about with it. And we do not believe in the Trinity or any of these other things. And if it means it separates us from whatever, so be it.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
There has to be a coming out. Praise God. There's no point. God's brought us out. We're glad to be out. Amen. And many of us have testimonies here how God did bring us out. And God brought us out for a reason. So the brothers are banned from there anyhow.
Amen.
And they'll have to find a new place for the youth services. And I know people could say, well, such no one come to the youth and he said something I didn't agree with. Well, maybe you said something he wouldn't agree with either. But here's one thing, don't forget about that. When the youth's getting together and they're praying, reading the Bible, waiting on the Lord, would you not agree that that's better?
Right.
And them going out into the Word. Who would agree?
Amen.
I certainly would. You know, and that's why, like, when a Brother John goes over to Bran at their Easter convention, where people get together, people can come, there's preaching and praying and everything. And that's what we need. That's what we want. That's why we're here, to hear from the Lord. And to meet around the Word of God. So, just pray for a brethren that the Lord will just help them and bless them at this time. Praise God. And that the Lord will have His way. Amen. And pray for me, for Scotland, and our Brother John as he prepares to go. And at the end of next month, remember, put it on your calendar, that, and we'll lift the offering. Then I think I'm going back to Scotland again, maybe about a month after this time, to another church in Scotland. There's actually 3 or 4 churches in Scotland. When we get to heaven, you know, God's not going to want to see what your badge is. He's going to look for the token.
Amen.
The blood mark. The seal of God.
Amen.
And if you've got that, there's a whole lot of badges you don't need.
Amen.
Praise God, isn't that the truth?
Amen.
And you remember Brother Branham preached about that.
Amen.
And he said that the fella said, now you look for the blood tag in the ear, for the pedigree. And he said that he's talking about the cattle. And he said, if they haven't got that tag, they can't go in here. Because they don't have that tag. And we're spiritually marked this morning by the mark of God. Amen. The Old Testament says the right thumb mark upon the right ear and so forth. They were marked. Praise God. Now we apologize, the heating's broke. Praise God. Now if you're too cold, use it at the back, move up a bit, or maybe after a bit the brothers could slide them heaters back a bit. Praise God. Let us turn to Matthew's Gospel. And you know, when I was praying for this morning, there's so many different things you can preach, but I felt led to preach this. I know I've mentioned some of these things a lot before, but I want to mention it again. Praise God. Maybe we could stand while we read Matthew 27. And the Lord bless each and every one. Matthew 27, verse 45 to 53. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put a reed and gave him to drink. Now I want you to notice, if you studied this and I preached a sermon, the rejection of the drink. But at the end of the crucifixion he receives the drink. And that's another message, because he drank the dregs. But that's another sermon. Verse 45. The rest said, let him be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let us bow our heads again for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee this morning for the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. How we approach Thy presence humbly and reverently in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Thy precious blood and we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you bless your word to their hearts this morning. Let us not be distracted, I pray. Bind every work of the devil. Spoil its goods in every life. And over this very house and this service. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for those that's laid aside sick, we thank especially of our brother Keith. We ask that you'll touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. By the mighty power of God, in Jesus Christ's name. For these two young men also, Lord, for Simon, Peter, and David, touch them as well, has already been prayed. Lord, for others that would want to have been here, but for circumstances never made it, bless them and touch them. And Lord, for those that didn't come but could have came, deal with them, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and speak to their hearts. Father, if any's carried away today with a suffering that's weighed them away from the house of God, turn their feet, Lord, and bring them into thy house again. And bless them, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless those that's been praying at their work. And Father, as we look to your word today, I pray you'll help us and guide us and bless us. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ's name. And I do thank you. You always undertake for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. I believe I preached it before. I want to take one in particular this morning from this crucifixion. And I believe there's many miracles happened round the crucifixion. And I could say four just because I picked four. I'm not going to preach on the four of them. But there's more than the four, because there's a miracle that happened with the man at the side of Jesus. Because the Bible says that these two men, two malefactors, I remember I preached about them. But these two malefactors gnashed on the Lord with their teeth. That's what the scripture says. But during the course of the crucifixion, during the time of agony and pain and suffering, while they were nailed on that cross, the Spirit of God took a dealing with one of these men and he could see him. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. So that's a miracle of salvation right there. But the thing I want to talk about today, and these four miracles that I've pictured, it's darkness. darkness in the day is one. It's not normal for the darkness in the day. That's a miracle. And I want to tell you, the devil didn't do any of these four miracles. God done them all. And the devil doesn't work too many miracles. You know that. It's a bit like Jack Cole when he was preaching. The two odd boys come in and said, "This thing's of the devil." The two odd drunks. And the one fella looked at the other one and he says, "If it is, how come we haven't got it?" Amen. Do we thank God? God's a miracle worker. Now tonight I might speak about this. The Spirit of Truth. And the Bible says the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth. And that's all. That's for the night. Let's just drop that in. Praise God. But this miracle, darkness in the day, the other miracle is the dividing of the veil. And the other one's disturbance of the earthquake. And it wasn't just a wee few rocks, but the Bible says the earth shook.
Amen.
Then the other one, the determinant from the graves. The graves of the Old Testament saints were opened. And there was a resurrection. And I tell you, they walked in the streets and they saw them. They saw them. I tell you, it's wonderful. But this morning I want to take a look at this. Dividing of a veil. The only Matthew's gospel records all four miracles. And I'm saying four. There's more than four. You know that. But I'm picking these four. And I'm only preaching in one of them because they're too much. Even one of them you could spend a lot of time. Mark and Luke only record the first two. It is fitting that the death of Christ would be accompanied by the supernatural. There's so many supernatural things that surround the death of Christ. When you really study it, there's many of them. I'm only looking at a few of them. And we've read these scriptures this morning. Now you keep your finger in Matthew 27, but I want to read Mark 15:33. "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him the drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." And also you can read it in Luke, and I won't take the time to read Luke 22 as well. Now what do you first of all to see about this material in the dividing? And it's important this morning that you see the material of this veil, because this is not just a wee handkerchief or like your coat. And it's not just any rag. But this veil is 60 by 30 in feet. And it's the thickness of the depth of a man's hand. 4 inches actually. So it's 4 inches thick. Now, it's woven with 72 different strands woven together throughout to make this veil. It's strong. And you know the scripture talks about things that's woven together. Threefold cords not easily broken because they're woven through each other. They're stronger. Now here's another thing about it. It took 300 priests to flip this off. That's how heavy it is. 300 priests. So there's no one or two fellas could take an end of this and rip it. Their features would be red. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't matter if they were Joe Weider supplements or not, they still couldn't rip it. No. This is strong. You could tow a truck with this. This is strong stuff. And I tell you, this was specially made. And if you were to get to all the details of the making of this veil, there's so many details in the very colours and the threads. Everything speaks about Christ. Every single thing. In verse 21, and it says, "Behold, the veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom." So you know, if you go to rip a cloth, you see, if you go to rip a cloth, you know, you stand by the weakest point. But this was ripped the hardest way, to cover it from the top. In Exodus 26, verse 31, it says this: "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made." So it's blue and scarlet and fine twined linen, cunning work. And if you were to study, you see, this is a very important thing. When you study this Old Testament, it's wonderful, you know. All these men that Moses chose, really it was God, but you know Moses was the man God gave the blueprint to and said, "This is how you'll do it." Because he was God's prophet. But you read special chosen men. You read men specially anointed for the job. Not just anybody, but it had to be men picked out by God to do the work. And I believe today that's what part of the trouble is. There's people want to do the job. And when I say the job, God's work, but they're not called to do it. And you know the anointing is the everlasting sign through the Bible. How many believes that? And God, even when he called a king, he anointed him. Prophet would go up and anoint him and call him out to be king. This veil of cloth, 60 feet long, 30 feet in height, and 30 feet wide. I don't know what this room, would this room be 30 feet? It might even be 30 feet, this room. If you went from the front to the back, maybe it would be just about 30 feet. But you imagine 60 feet by 30 feet. This thing's big. And the thickness of a man's hand is the depth of it, the thickness of it, the strength of it, and all these wonderful colours in it. And all these colours speak about the Lord. The veil was a separator curtain from the holy place to the holiest of holies. You could, you know, even the very outer court of this tabernacle, I've had a picture I'd show you, but you see the very first thing about the tabernacle is you had to go through the gate. And the gates like the veil. And the gates upheld in four pillars. And there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And they all uphold Christ and they all uplift Christ. Yes, I want you to get this here this morning. This is what I want to show you. Oh, the devil's crafty, isn't it? You see, people say he's always preaching about the Lord. Who else will I preach about? Let me know. This book doesn't tell me to preach about nobody else. Christ is who I'm preaching about. And Matthew, Mark, Luke and John uplifted Christ. They upheld Christ. And the gate at the very start is a type of Christ. It is Christ. I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the only door. They uplift him. They uphold him. And we'll see a little later how one sees him as a servant, one sees him as a king, and so forth. And it's all there for a reason. The four Gospels all show something slightly different for a purpose and a reason, to show you God's great picture of Christ.
Yes,
praise God. In Exodus 26, verse 33, it says this: "And thou shalt hang up the veil under the touches. And thou mayest bring in thither wherein the veil, the ark of the testimony, and the veil that shall divide unto between the holy place and the most holy place." So this veil was the divider between the holy place and the most holy place. Now remember, stand with me a moment. Come with me for a moment here this morning. Right, we've come through the gate into the tabernacle or in the outer court. The first thing that comes to is the brazen altar. And the brazen altar is made from wood and it's overlaid with brass. And the wood speaks of humanity and the brass speaks of God. You're not seeing Christ, sin if you're not looking right. And it's a cubic and a half high. And you see, this whole thing's a cubic and a half high throughout. And that tells us that Jesus never changes. He's the same. And then you could take the brazen altar, and I'm not meant to be preaching on this this morning, but anyhow, you could put everything within the brazen altar. All your cups and all your spoons and everything is stored within the brazen altar, because all the gifts of the church were already in Christ.
Amen.
And it's Him that rose up.
Amen.
And it's Him that gave gifts on the man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all in Him.
Amen.
Nobody else.
Amen.
I don't believe in this rubbish. And that's what I'm calling it. What they talk about impartation. For some great man's coming, and you can receive that man's anointing, and he'll wave over you, and he'll give you a gift, and he'll give you this. It's absolute nonsense. Christ's the one you need.
Amen.
You don't need the Toronto blessing, you need the Holy Ghost blessing. Amen. Now I believe God uses men. Don't pick me up wrong. But them men will point you to the Lord. Isn't that right? There's so much today. I tell you, these modern day preachers, they're talking about impartation meetings. You know what they're doing? They do meetings now. Well, whose spirit do you want to receive? Do you want to receive the spirit of William Branham or the spirit of Wigglesworth? And this is how they talk. Well, I'm sorry, it's not scripture. It's the Holy Spirit we want. It's the Holy Spirit Wigglesworth heard. It's the Holy Spirit William Branham had. We don't want the spirit of a man, no matter how good the man is. We want the Holy Spirit. And God set the Holy Spirit in the church, and He set gifts in the church for the perfection of the church. For the edifying of the body. But it all comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't it true?
Yes.
But you see, when you get in here, you're still a silly out of court, by the way. By the pen, I could draw it all. I've looked at it so much. And I'm sure you know about it. But the outer court, the first thing you come to then is this veil. And this first veil takes you into the holy place. And then when you go into the holy place, on your right hand side is a table, which is a cubic and a half high here. And on the table is 12 cakes of bread, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. Then over the other side is a seven golden candlesticks, which represents seven church ages and seven messengers sent from God, seven stars in the hand of Jesus. And you need the light from the candles to see the table. And you're only groping at the table without the light of them candles. You can't see. You're in darkness. And God, through seven church ages, sent seven messengers. We believe that. To give us light through each age. And all the light from these candles come from one bowl. Each candle doesn't have its own wee separate bowl. There's one bowl. And each, the first candle lights the second candle, the second one lights the third, the fourth, the fifth, the seventh. That's how it's said in the Bible. And it's one beaten word. Then you see the table. Then you come a bit further, and in the golden altar of incense, there's a crown round it, speaks of deity, kingship, and four horns. The incense goes up before God as a sweet smelling savour. Now you're at the veil, which we're preaching about this morning, and this is the veil that separates between the holy place where your table is, where your candles is. Now this is bringing you somewhere further, somewhere deeper. On this Bible, when the Shekinah glory came in its fullness in this Old Testament, no man could minister.
Amen.
Such was the presence of the Lord. Such was the power of the presence of Almighty God. No man could minister because of the presence of Almighty God. experience he had when he was driving along and he saw beyond and he said, that place, nobody glory, only the Lord. There was no big names. Only Jesus was the one to worship. Only Jesus was the one that was important. Nobody else was important. Isn't that wonderful? Now we're back to this veil. So can you see what this veil's for now? We're just getting started. You know, I do love to preach about the tabernacle. Maybe it's the brethren in me. I'll tell you what, I thank God for some of the old brethren men that knew a lot of these things and preached them and taught them. You know, Brother Branham said, he talked about the fellas like that, that all the word, and then he said the Pentecost and the other side had all the anointing. And he said if he could just get the two together. He didn't say do away with one. He said get the two of them together. Then you would have it. And we just trust God with him. Have that.
Yes,
praise God. The word and the power of God.
Amen.
That's what we need. The veil we're looking at is one curtain into the holiest of holies. That protects you. Thus it is the veil of all veils. Now we can speak about many other veils, and many people talk about many other veils, and they type other things as veils, but this is the veil of all veils. This is the final curtain. And it's referred to as a curtain. This is the big curtain. This is the last one. The other veils bring you into wonderful places. The other veils bring you, you know, when you've shown them behind a curtain, you're hiding something. There's something to be revealed. When you have a curtain up, it's covered something. But when you get beyond this veil, there's no other veils to go through. I want you to get that. The veil of veils. The divider, separator curtain is used to hide someone. It was also used to cover the ark of God. And you can read that in Numbers 4 and 5. That they took this veil. And when the camp setteth toward, some kind of forward iron shall come and his sons. And they shall take down the covering veil. And cover the ark of the testimony with it. So the veil was used to cover the ark of God. And we saw the other week that not just anybody could just put their hands in this ark. I want you to see a wonderful picture here this morning, because you see, with this whole ultimate picture is that anybody now can come. It couldn't have happened before. Now anybody can come. The ark was never seen by the people. It was always covered. It was for specific work, for specific purpose. Praise God. As the veil covered the ark, it also covered the tables of the law that were in the ark. And we know that the Ten Commandments were in the ark. And you know that Moses broke them the first time, and God gave them to them again. That's how important they were. That God gave them the second time. Numbers 4 and verse 5 says this in verse 6. And when the camp set up forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil over the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth of holy blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And all these colorings of blue and badger skins speak of veils, of coverings. But the thing is, you want to see what's beyond the veil. Praise God. You get them colors in Exodus 26 and 31, you can read them. I'll just read you, just for to get you the colors. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made. And you remember when you have this blue and scarlet and purple and fine twined linen's white, and then the cherubims with woven into it with gold thread. And remember, this is 4 inches thick. This is a masterpiece of work here. Now, the fine twine linen points us to the Lord, our righteousness. And when you see white in the Bible, and you see the fine twine linen in the Bible, it points you to the Lord's righteousness. And we had no righteousness of our own, and we needed the Lord's righteousness. Because we cannot come before a holy God if we haven't got righteousness. But we need the Lord's righteousness. And Jeremiah 23 verse 6 says this: "And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Who's your righteousness this morning? The Lord. I was preparing to preach on perfection. And we can have perfection. A lot of people say you'll never be perfect in this world. That's a lie. Because the Bible says you are perfect in Christ. Isn't that right? So you're perfect in Christ. Because he's your Savior, because he's your Lord, he does not look at you in your imperfections as maybe the devil wants you to, but you're perfect in him. You're saved because of his righteousness. And he's called the Lord our righteousness. You remember that. The Lord's your righteousness. The devil tells you, but you're not righteous. You say, no, but the Lord's my righteousness. So because the Lord's my righteousness, and I believe by faith in the Lord, I am righteous. He makes me righteous. Because I come under Romans 4. And Romans 4 is the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the word impute means he freely gives it to you. He imparts it to you freely. You don't work for it. He gives you it because he loves you. He gives you his righteousness. And you can say, the Lord is my righteousness. And I'm righteous because of his righteousness. The Lord's your righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, all in the Lord. Now can you see this veil? We've only got the one color. And can you see the importance of this veil? And we're only on the colors. It shows you the righteousness of God. It shows you that that's the thing that saves you. That's the thing that puts you in standing, that you can stand before a holy God. You're not condemned. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're redeemed because of his righteousness. Here's our next color. Now we know that he is indeed the righteous man pictured in the Gospel of Luke. Now you can write these down if you want, but Luke pictures him as a righteous man. That's how Luke pictures the Lord. And when you study the Gospel of Luke, there's a theme in it. There's keys to the Bible. I hear people saying, I read the Bible, I didn't understand it. I read the Old Testament, I didn't. Because you're not using the keys. There's certain keys. There's a law of the first mention. So when God starts to mention something in the Old Testament, you follow that as a law of the first mention, and you'll see every other place he mentions it, and there'll be a trail. And it'll bring you somewhere, to Christ. It won't bring you to denomination. It won't bring you to some other man. It'll always lead you back to the Lord. That's the wonderful thing about it. Praise God. This second color is blue. And the color is of the color of the heavens. And Jesus is a second man, the Lord from heaven. And you know why he's called the second man? Because Adam's the first man. And Adam being the first man is of the earth, earthly. But this is the second man, the Lord from heaven, he's heavenly. So he represents the color blue. Heavenly. The heavenly man. Somebody wrote a wee book one time. I think maybe Brother Ian read it. I have a copy of it. The Heavenly Man, it's called. It's a wonderful testimony. But this wee man. But this here's the real Heavenly Man here. The Lord Jesus. Praise God. Now the fellow had a great testimony that wrote that book. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Blue. He's from heaven. Didn't come from the earth. He come from the heavens. I tell you, isn't it wonderful? People want to go to space. They want to live in space. They want and spent millions of pounds and all these things. But the Lord's really the man that came from space, if you like. And just, you know, he really has done it. We're going to go to be with the Lord. John 3 verse 13, look what it says. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all. My yes is wonderful. Amen. This man's above all. There's nothing higher, there's nothing greater than the Lord Jesus. He's above all. And the Bible says he's put all under his feet. And the last enemy that's to be conquered is death. And Paul says in his Corinthians, I think it's chapter 15, O death, where is thy sting? About verse 51 or so, you can read down it. O grave, where is thy victory? It's all swallowed up because of Calvary. That's why Paul said, preach the cross. It's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He that is off the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And he speaks to you of heavenly things. He's a heavenly man revealed in the Gospel of John. And John reveals him as a heavenly man. The real heavenly man. Here's this third colour, purple. And purple is a royal colour that is often associated with kingship. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the only rightful heir to the throne of David. Nobody else. He's the rightful heir to the throne of David. That kind of he's going to sit in that throne. Praise God. Luke 1 verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. This is Isaiah 9 verse 6, really. Isn't it?
Yes.
And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Brother Branham said, anything that had a beginning has an ending. But this man has a kingdom and there's no end to it.
Right. Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He made the devil. The devil's going to have an end.
Yes.
He's going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is a second death. But Jesus is our Lord. Praise God.
Yeah.
And a kingdom of no end. He's a royal man whom the Gospel of Matthew bears record. This other colour and this fourth colour, scarlet. Scarlet is a colour of sacrificial blood. Jesus is the Lamb of God, our sacrifice. And when you think of scarlet, you're thinking of blood, you're thinking of the blood of the Lamb. Now how many sermons could you preach on the blood? The Bible's a bloody book.
Amen.
John 1 verse 29. The next day John saith Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's Lamb. Matthew 20 verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. A ransom means to pay the price.
Amen.
That was owed.
Yes.
Jesus paid your price. The devil has no legal claim in you. He's lying to you. Jesus has ransomed you. Jesus has paid for you. You're free. I'm telling you, on the authority of this word, you are free. Jesus has ransomed you. You belong to the Lord. I don't care what the devil brings your way. You are the Lord's. And whether we live or die, we're still the Lord's. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. He came to minister to man. Mark's gospel demonstrates Jesus' ministry as a servant son. So these four gospels give us all a different picture, but all the Lord. Now here's my second thought about this being the moment of this dividing. Follow with me now. You're listening well. The time's gone, but you're listening well. First he relates to Christ's death on the cross, then it relates to the ceremony in the temple. And in our opening reading, You can read in Matthew 27:50-51. And also in Mark 15, you can read, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was right in twain from the top to the bottom. Right after Christ's death, Luke reports the veil rending. Amen. Just before he reports the death of Christ, Luke 23:45. And he's the only one reports it rending before the death. All the rest of them say after he cried it rang. But follow with me now. Just about the time the priest entered the holiest of holies to do a several work. And this was a special day when this priest was going in here. A special day at the time of the evening sacrifice. Remember that. And this priest's going in, and he's not going in without blood. He's going in with his blood. He's going in dressed. He's going in prepared. And he's standing before this veil. And at the cross, Jesus cries with a loud voice, "It's finished." And just as Jesus cries with a loud voice, this that 60 feet by 30 feet, that the depth of a man's hand thick, it rends before the priest to that. And I'll tell you about they're not in splitter in equal parts. The Bible tells us that. Oh, behold the mighty conqueror! Since he rent the veil in two, the way is made not into the holiest of holies, the new and living way.
Yeah.
Oh, the way that was fenced up with sin. The way that no man could go. The way that only through ceremonies and rituals, which were a figure of the truth, they're only speaking of something greater. But here now, it's vanished away. Because Christ has rent the veil in two.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He cried with a loud voice. What did he cry? It's finished. It is finished. And she rent from the top to the bottom. I tell you, this boy's in his garments and he's in shock here. He's standing here looking at this field and he's still shock, I believe. In shock. This field's wonderful. He knows the size of it. He knows the depth of it. He knows the working in it. He knows the strength of it. He knows that no human hand can do it. He's going to have to admit this is an act of God. This is a mighty miracle. You can read over the Acts of the Apostles and many priests believed. Many believed. Oh, praise God. I know I'm jumping ahead, but I'm excited.
Amen.
Maybe it doesn't excite you that the veil was rent.
Amen.
But I'll tell you something, it should, because we were going straight to hell if it didn't rent.
Amen.
We could never come to God without this happening.
Great.
I thank God this veil rent.
Amen.
The veil was rent or torn asunder. I'm sure the priest at the temple was shocked, shaken, rent right before him from the top to bottom. It being a high day, a Passover day, a special day. The priest in this day would have entered to burn incense or do all their services. The altar of incense was right in front of the veil that was rent. There's the altar, here's the veil, and it just rips open, defiant in front of him. What a miracle. And here he can see. No more closed up but open before him. The place no human eye could look into before was now in plain view. What a miracle. Many priests believe because of this miracle. I want you to see quickly the manner of this dividing, and I'm closing. The dividing of the veil was done in a divine manner and a divulging manner. A divine manner and a divulging manner.
You had to go through all these rituals and the rope tied around your ankle and all these ceremonies and all these things, and here that tongue thing now is ripped open. God is clearly saying, this is finished. Out with the old, in with the new. That's what God's saying. This is now the new covenant, the New Testament. He fulfilled the old. It says in one place he abolished it. Did you read it? That's what it says. Praise God. Look at this. Divine manner. No man can do it, only Almighty God. That's why it's divine. And this way is not only rent, but if you like the word, torn apart by God himself. He just ripped it in two. Can you? I know we can't picture God in the sense, but can you think for a moment? You know, you see, you know, they try and picture things in movies. No, some mighty thing coming down and all the rest of it. But here, God just rips us in two. No man could do that. The way it's made plain. Not only rent, torn apart, torn in two. In equal places, like a path made through the Red Sea. Listen to this. Just one quote I want to read from the message called The Mighty Conqueror. God taking that lovely one who stopped down so low that even he didn't have a place to be born or a place to die. God exalted him on high and gave him a crown of glory yonder and the name above every name. There he sits today, the mighty conqueror. Since he rent the veil in two. Amen. The veil of sin was rent in two. The veil of sickness was rent in two. And every veil that kept man away from God was rent in two. I am the way, the truth, and the light. He broke every power. He scattered every devil. He made a searchlight from glory right into the very presence of God. Amen. This is your divulging manner. You can see in for you couldn't see before. Who do you need now to take you in there?
Yes, amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
You're going to tell me you need an all earthly priest? No. No, no. No scripture for it. You're not just working here with a lampstand and 12 cakes no more here. This brings you into the very Shekinah presence of God. You can see right through. Into the holies of holies. The way has been made. The path is clear. You can go straight through. By Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Christ alone. Now don't I tell it. Because Brother Branham says so many times, the same as I am saying, Jesus is the only way. And there's no other way. No substitute. No secondary work. This is it. This is not a figure. This is the real thing. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this way is made clear. Praise God. You remember this? In Luke 23 verse 45, and the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Told you a few equal parts. Rent in the midst. And when God says amidst in this book, it means in the middle. And just like he parted the Red Sea. Oh, glory to God. You can take that word midst and preach a whole sermon on it. You could. But God, in the midst of it, just rent it. Oh, there's something about staying in the middle of the road, isn't there?
Amen.
Yes, there is.
See, the scripture here for it.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Wonderful. Two equal pieces so you could walk through. This is a divulging manner. When this veil was divided, torn apart, it divulged to the holiest of holies as no other rending would do it. Remember, this way was closed. Only the high priest on the Day of Atonement could go in with blood to offer for himself then for the people. But Jesus went in with his own blood. He's the only man. Listen to me. He's the only man that God would accept coming in with his own blood.
Amen.
You getting this now? These other priests never came in with their own blood. It was corrupted. They were born sinners. They came with the blood of a lamb, of a bullock, which would attack what was coming. But that blood slam, Brother Branham preached so many sermons upon it, get the match called the token, listen to it. He says there was no life in those dead animals to come back. But when Christ's blood shed broke, the life of God was released onto the true believer. And Jesus went in with his own blood. We saw it in Hebrews last week. And God accepted it because he was sinless, spotless, blameless. That's why his blood is called the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. Here's my last thought. I'm going to close. The time's going. This message in the divide. The word behold means pay attention. God wants to show something, and the clear message in the dividing is that now Christ is the way. The only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. He's the only way. And this message in the dividing and God saying, behold, means pay attention, look up, listen. This is the only way. Amen. No other way. Only Christ. Amen. And Christ alone. I'm reading the Hebrews and I'm closing. Hebrews 9 verse 2. I won't read it all. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the church candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. That's what we're talking about. Which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that is manna, an iron rod that butted, and the table of the covenant, and over it cherubim. It goes right on. It gives you the whole picture, the whole story. All about it in Hebrews 9. But let's go right down to the last verse, 12. Let me read you from verse 11 of Hebrews 9. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, in verse 11, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. The fella said to me, the blood never entered heaven. He never read this verse. But with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. And he's not talking about this earthly tabernacle. Amen. He's talking about the heavenly one. Amen. Having obtained eternal redemption. You are saved all right. This man's obtained it for you. He's obtained it for you. For you. For us. He has it. We're not Jehovah Witnesses working on till eternal life. We have it. Because Jesus obtained it for us. He obtained it for us. One verse in Hebrews 10 verse 20. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Christ has done it for you. The veil's rent in two. He's obtained it for you. He's your righteousness. You are righteous. Oh, but I did this and I did that. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. Amen. And from all unrighteousness. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
He's obtained it for you. Obtained eternal redemption. And look, I read you what God's prophet said here this morning, Brother Branham. He said the veil of sin is rent. The veil of sickness is rent. Because Jesus has obtained it for you. Righteousness. Redemption. Full redemption. How many knows there's healing and full redemption? Healing's in the atonement. He's obtained it for you. Not just salvation, but your healing. You're the Lord's this morning. Let's come and bow our heads.
The Lord bless. I know it's cold, but the Lord bless you. You wouldn't want prayer. I'm not going to call nobody forward. You just lift your hand with your eyes closed. And I'll pray for you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful miracle. Lord, you rent the veil in twain. Made the way into the holiest of holies. Lord, we don't need an earthly priest today. We have a great high priest who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. Father, you can feel the infirmities this morning, the suffering and all the pains. You've obtained eternal redemption for us. Father, I bring before you every hand that's raised. Lord, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll meet the very need for that man and that woman in Jesus Christ's name. Father, confirm thy word, I pray, for this is thy word, and thy word is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you entered in once for all and you obtained eternal redemption for us. Lord, we know when we think of atonement and redemption that there's healing in the atonement and the bread's the children's healing. Father, heal thy people, I pray. I rebuke every sickness and every infirmity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke it. Amen. And I speak health to the navel in Jesus' precious name. Lord, you sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them. Heal your people once again and touch them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I thank you for how well the people's listened. And it's cold in this hall, but I pray you'll bless them and strengthen them. And I ask you'll help us tonight. And Father, if thou wouldst tarry, that you'll bless our brother John for the services that lie ahead. Meet us every need. Help us, Lord, for Scotland as well. And all the different requests we have. And for the brothers, Madad and Mark, for next week, if thou wouldst tarry. Bless them and strengthen them. And bless thy people. And Father, we seek to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We won't give our worship to another, for thou alone art worthy to receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And even your prophets say it when they asked him to bow down to the Pope. He said, I will not do it, for I will only bow to Jesus Christ my Lord. And Father, we will only bow to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us now, we pray, as we look unto thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother comes. God bless you.
And the minister of the faith will sing a hymn.
Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as soon as we would have a misfortune or a mishap, Lord, if we would fall short, that immediately, Lord, we can call upon your name and ask for forgiveness, Lord. We can come to thee, Lord, just ask me, even as the hymn writer once said, just as I am, Lord, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, even so, Lord, I come to thee. Lord, we thank you for thy blood. We thank you that it's paved the way, Lord, for the righteousness which you've imputed unto us. And we thank you, Lord, that indeed it is ours. Indeed, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have obtained the eternal redemption for us. And Lord, we also know that eternal has no beginning as well as no end. And before the foundation of the world, it was already settled. And we thank you that Jesus Christ, you are the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank you, Lord, this morning that we have accepted what you have done for us. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that your mercy will extend to those, the gentler family that's not yet saved. Lord, that they would benefit, Lord, of this mercy. That they would have benefit of this priest, this great high priest. And Lord, that indeed they would avail of this rent veil in the name of Jesus Christ. And they too boldly can come and call upon your name for salvation and for forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life, and we praise your holy name. Lord, indeed, as we've heard this morning, there wasn't anyone else eligible to do what you've done. There wasn't anyone else qualified. But Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you've done it for us, and Lord, we're glad for that. Lord, let us always be grateful, and let us always be mindful that there is none like you. You stand alone. There's nothing can be compared to you. Indeed, you are above all things. And Lord, we know that all things were created for you and for your pleasure. Lord, this morning, Lord, as we go from this place, part us with your blessing and make us rich in honor and sorrow. And we pray that you'll bring us safe again this evening for more fellowship in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, just help us, Lord, to worship thee all the time. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Am